Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and who hasn't read a book that has changed our understanding of the world, or a book that made you feel completely different as a person by the time you reach the last page? Well, if that has happened to you, our next guest wants to hear about it. Logan Smalley is the creator of a project called Call Me Ishmael, which he just started last month. He set up a voicemail box, and he asked for phone calls with stories about stories. And he's here to tell us about the project and listen to some interesting voicemails that have come in on a few different books. Hi, Logan. Welcome to WNYC.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for having me.
And let's jump right into an example, a clip from one of the voicemails. This is about 40 seconds of somebody who called you up to talk about Dr. Seuss's book, The Star-Bellied Sneetches.
The book I'm going to tell you about, Ishmael, is The Sneetches by Dr. Seuss. I was born about 5 months before the U.S. Supreme Court ruled in Brown versus Board of Education that separate by definition is not equal. My Sunday school teacher told us that God wanted us to be separate. The one thing that was more credible than adults was books, and I was reading the Sneetches, and they did figure out that no Sneetches are better than other Sneetches, and of course I understood the racial implications of that, and it really made a profound difference in how I viewed civil rights growing up.
Logan, that's heavy.
Very heavy, and the three-minute call is even heavier. I love that one.
The three-minute call?
Yeah, so that was a segment pulled from – it was actually a three-minute voicemail, which is the
– Is that the format?
Yeah, it's a voicemail box. It's a real voicemail box, and that's why it sounds like a voicemail, right, a little bit?
Uh-huh. And he said the book, in this case, helped him understand the racial issues of the civil rights era. Is that at all a common theme in the calls you've gotten, that is, books that help people understand the sort of issue context of their world?
I think the common theme in that one is looking back to books that you read in your formative years.
Yeah.
So that was
right because
right
he was a kid in the
South, right.
Getting one message at Sunday school and a competing message from Dr. Seuss.
That's right. That's right. So we just got one about Pride and Prejudice that went up a couple of days ago, and it's someone flashing back to when they read it when they were younger. So nostalgia is a theme for sure.
So let's try a version of Call Me Ishmael on the air, listeners. Do you have a story about a book that influenced you, or a story about something that happened to you while you were reading a book that you'll never forget? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Here's your chance to practice telling your story. Just use the radio as kind of a rehearsal space before you give Ishmael an actual call. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. For Logan Smalley. And here's another example. This is a clip from a Call Me Ishmael voicemail about, of all things, an anatomy textbook.
Hi, Ishmael. I want to talk about a textbook called The Atlas of Human Anatomy for the Artist. I have always drawn my whole life, but when I was about 16, I decided that I really wanted to be an artist for a living. And I started taking figure drawing classes out of a woman's home with live models. And she always had these big, beautiful textbooks, and some of them were artist portfolios, and some of them were anatomy references, just all sorts of great books. And she used this one a lot, the Atlas of Human Anatomy. One day, she was showing me something out of it, and she turned to me and said, you know, I have two copies of this book. When I was around your age, a professor gave this one to me, and I want to give it to you. And she did. It's this beautiful old copy from the 60s. And somebody bought it from a university bookstore for $5.85. And I have it today. Through her encouragement, through her love, and through her support of me, I really am pursuing my dream. I really am becoming an artist.
So there's one you probably never expected to get about a textbook.
It's true. And I got to tell you, yesterday I had a chance to show that to 100 art teachers at the Lincoln Center. It was so meaningful because she goes on to become an animator, and actually she wants to give that book to a future apprentice.
That is so cool. So walk us through the process. Someone calls you up, they leave a voicemail, and then what?
That's right. Yeah, so this all happens on callmeishmael.com, which is, of course, the first sentence of Moby Dick reinterpreted as a pun. You call, it goes straight to voicemail. It's me saying, hi, this is Ishmael. Leave me a message about a book you love and a story you've lived. And you leave the message. And actually, after that, if we don't post every message, but the ones that we do post, we actually transcribe with a real typewriter so that when you're listening to it, in the case that there's an accent, you can also understand it.
All right. You know what? We have a full board of calls. We have 10 lines. They lit up
Excellent.
Right away with people wanting to play. You ready?
People love books.
Susan on Staten Island. You're on WNYC. Hey, Susan.
Hey, good morning. Well, first of all, I love all kinds of books, but I think my first most influential book when I was a child was The Secret Garden.
Mm.
And it probably isn't a book that most people are familiar with, but it was because there was a girl who was the heroine and who was the strong person. Everybody else did what they were told, and she was the one who went against the grain and solved the problem.
Yes, absolutely. That is such a classic book, and I remember the film very well, too. And thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you. Now, is that in the spirit? People just shout
absolutely.
Out a book
I mean,
and then
think,
say something that they thought was important to them about it?
That's right. And I think what I love about that call is the observation that it was a female heroine, right? Like, that was so meaningful to this caller in her childhood, and I think that it benefits other people to hear that.
Here's another Staten Islander. I guess people are reading on Staten Island. Anthony, you're on WNYC. Hi, Anthony.
So I was graduated from college. I was about to go to Columbia for social work, and I was pretty far left. It was like the 60s kind of thing, and my sister bought me a copy of Atlas Shrugged, and she gave it to me to read, and it kind of transformed my attitude. And it was more about, you know, well, step up and shape up, and you can do it if you put your mind to it, in America kind of thing. And I ended up not going to grad school. I ended up going into business for myself. It's been 25 years now. I'm pretty successful. And although I'm very far to the left politically, you know, the book had a big impact on how I looked at achievement.
You can be far to the left and still have been influenced by Ayn Rand's Atlas Shrugged?
Well, you know, at 21 years old.
Yes.
To be influenced by Ayn Rand at 60, I don't know.
You and Paul Ryan. Anthony, thank you very much.
Okay.
And a great story. Arturo in Bergen County, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hello. Thanks for having me on. I read Nathan McCall's book, Makes Me Want to Holler, when I was in graduate school, seminary, actually. I was about to turn 30. It was an autobiography. And in his book, he wrestles with being an African-American male in America, obviously. And it just spoke to me in a way that helped me to better understand my past and gave me things to think about in preparation for the future. And as a result of that, I buy that book and pass it on to other African-American men when they're about to turn 30. And most of all, I'm now teaching diversity studies at a university in New Jersey, due in part to the impact of that book.
All right. And if Nathan McCall is listening, I'm sure he is absolutely flattered. He was on for that book. And
yeah, fantastic story. Thank you.
And we looked up the book blurb for that real quick while Arturo was on. And it says, examining the complexities of the problems of black youths from an insider's perspective, an African-American journalist recalls his own troubled childhood, his rehabilitation while in prison, and his successful Washington Post career. Although I like the way Arturo put it better.
Yeah, exactly, right? He's teaching diversity studies. Thank you, Arturo. That was a fabulous story.
Here's another one from the Call Me Ishmael voicemail collection. This clip is from a guy whose high school English teacher had him make a short film about Catcher in the Rye for extra credit because he was failing the class.
I read the book, did some research on Salinger, and I got some friends together, and we made the film, and it was just like, you know, in a lot of ways, it was horrible. It was completely over the top, really vulgar. All the sexual tension was really just sped out. You know, there's a lot of subtleties in that book, and we just totally took it in the opposite direction. Holden Caulfield in a straitjacket. One of my friends was dressed up as a crazy prostitute, but just like way over the top. Salinger would have hated it. It was sacrilege, but it was also fitting somehow, I think, to that book.
Huh. Now, that story is less about how the book itself impacted that caller. Instead, it details a specific experience he had that grew out of reading the book.
That's right. I think there's two things to note. I mean, one, that's a story about that classic moment where you don't necessarily love reading and then your teacher allows you to make a video. I think that happens more and more in schools. And now he goes on to explain how his relationship to reading changed. And then the other thing to note about that call is that when you call Ishmael, it's encouraged to be anonymous. So obviously he's going into a little bit more salacious territory in that voicemail. And I got to say, that happens. We have an anonymous voicemail line, and we get a full spectrum of strange to inspiring to beautiful, you name it.
So, okay, now you put on your Call Me Ishmael persona as if we were in this, you know, voicemail environment as we take the next call, who is Daniel in Brooklyn. Okay. So Daniel calls up and you do what?
Well, it goes to my answering machine. I just check my voice mailbox every morning. I sacrifice my answering machine to the world.
And the outgoing message is?
Oh, I see. Hi, this is Ishmael. Leave me a message about a book you love and a story you've lived.
Daniel, you want to do that? Hey, Daniel in Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Oh, yeah. How you doing? How's everything?
Good. Call him Ishmael. Leave him a story about you loved and a story from your life.
Right. You want me to explain it right now?
Yeah.
Okay. My name is Danny. I'm from Bay Ridge. I grew up in Canarsie, a rough area. I grew up thinking I was a bad guy, an athlete, and everything like that. I didn't realize deep within me, because of my dysfunctional background, that I really was an intellectual. And I wasted a lot of time until one intellectual guy who I really had nothing to do with, he said, you know, I see something in you, and you need to start reading. And I wasn't reading. And he said, he recommended Albert Camus. I had no clue who this individual was. And I said, okay, I'll check into it. And literally 3 days before I went to the library to check out something by Albert Camus, I was walking through Canarsie, and in a slightly rainy, gutted, street, facing up was a colorful book called A Happy Death by Albert Camus. And I picked it up, and I took it home. I dried it off. It wasn't complete. The back end was missing. And after I read that book, it hit me so hard that I ran to the library and I exhausted every Albert Camus book I could read. I read every biography, every notebook by him. And then I ran to my friend who turned me on to this, and I said, hey, guy, what's next? He said, Hermann Hesse. I read everything by Hermann Hesse. And after those are my 1-2 punches. And after reading that, those two writers, everything about them, everything they've written, I came to the realization that I am definitely a agnostic existentialist.
Yeah, well, that is some story. One day you're living on the streets in Canarsie or living the street life, and the next day you're into the existential masters.
Yeah, an existential
talk about a 180.
Agnostic. Yeah, that's incredible. I love that story. I love that you went to the library. I love both those authors as well. Thank you.
That's a great story. Daniel, thank you very much. All right, here's one more from your voicemail. And this is from a guy who used the dictionary that his English teacher gave him to help him get over his first breakup. The book was the dictionary.
The big moment with that dictionary is right around the time that I got it, I had my heart broken for the first time. My cute eighth grader girlfriend dumped me, and I took it really badly. And one night I thought, well, I'm going to see what this is that happened to me. I never felt this before. I want to just see what this is that's tearing me up inside. So I looked up heartache, and I still do this. Anytime I'm in a bookstore or a friend's and I see the dictionary, I look up heartache, and it's stayed the same since then. Heartache, noun, anguish of mind, which is so unsatisfying. And it's telling you that the pain and the ache and the tumult that you're feeling inside of you so viscerally, all in your head, son.
It's screw all in your you, Merriam-Webster. He goes on to say later in that phone call.
My favorite thing about that call is that just the other day, a editor of the Merriam-Webster Dictionary came to that voicemail and shared it on his Twitter. And so right when the anonymous voicemail comes in and it makes its way to the editor of the dictionary, that's when you're like, wow, what a crazy project.
It is the first anti-dictionary call that I think we've ever gotten on the show. All right, we have a minute left. Let's see if we can do a lightning round. Folks, shout out your book, 5-second blurb. Tom in Huntington, what book? How did it affect you? Boom.
That was my friend's book on the solar system. I read when I was 6, and it planted the seed of a love of science and eventually my apostasy from Catholicism.
Whoa, thank you. Robin in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. What book? How did it affect you? Quick.
I read a book in fourth grade about Joan of Arc, and I felt like I was the reincarnation of Joan of Arc. I started living that out as in my childhood, in my adulthood. I realized it's because my father was an occultist who believed in reincarnation. My mom was a fundamentalist Christian. And now I'm a fire keeper. I train people how to keep fire at sweat lodges all up and down the East Coast.
Oh, wow. My gosh. Wow. Please call Ishmael.
Somehow she got to, I was Joan of Arc as a child, to that. Doug in White Plains, what was your book?
David McCullough's 1776. And at one point they were talking about the Battle of White Plains and how the British Navy had gone up the Hudson River to outflank Washington's retreat or something. And they dropped anchor at a town called Tappan Zee along the cliffs of the Palisades, whatever. And at that very moment, they had to go over the Tappan Zee Bridge. And it occurred to me that 200 years ago or whatever, that there were these, you know, British boats right under me. And that when I was looking at that very moment, they were also. And so it just added a nice dimension to
I have to leave it there, Doug, because we're flat out of time, but great story.
Thanks, Doug.
Will he still be able to tell it with the new Tappan Zee Bridge? So what's the phone number if people want to call Ishmael?
Well, the best way to do it is to go to callmeishmael.com. The phone number's right at the top.
Right.
But I don't want to confuse your listeners because I know the, you know,
it's okay.
Call
use
you
the
again
web.
In a second.
Call That's me right. Ishmael. .com if you want to take part in Logan Smalley's experiment. It was fun. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Brian.